In the name of our triune God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Is the United States of America a Christian nation? That's a question that gets debated a lot these days. What do you think about that? How would you answer that question on this Independence Day weekend? Whether or not we say America is a Christian nation may depend on what we understand it to mean to be a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian today? The answer may be simple. To be a Christian is to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I would certainly agree with that. But somehow, in our world as it is, people might have different views of what it means exactly to follow Christ. Different people have different thoughts. To be precise, we need to sort through some of those ideas. Some countries have a state church, an official religion for the nation, which is usually a Christian denomination, and in that way, they could be considered Christian nations. In the United Kingdom, the Church of England, related to the Episcopalians and the Anglicans here in the United States, is the state church. In some of the Scandinavian countries, such as Sweden, the Lutheran Church is the state church. Some people would say, then, that if you are a citizen of one of those countries, then you are, by default, a Christian. I'm told that in Germany, there is a little box on your tax form that you can check out to send a tiny portion of your taxes to support the church. And that would make you a church member. Most of us would agree, I'm sure, that merely being born in a certain country or sending a few of your tax dollars to the church does not really make one a Christian. In England, there are more people worshiping in mosques on a typical weekend than there are in Christian churches. Once I met a pastor from Sweden. He was the pastor of a large, beautiful, cathedral-like church that had thousands and thousands of members. On a typical Sunday, less than 100 would actually show up for worship. The old state churches are dying. About the only occasions that people go to state churches are for baptisms, weddings, and funerals, or as we like to say, to hatch, match, and dispatch. Both here and in Europe, so many people are not even using churches for those rituals. So many weddings now are in beaches or hotels or modified barns presided over by people who got their degrees online. There are some secular funerals even that have an MC instead of a pastor. There's no mention of God, it's just stories and jokes. If these things are the norm in a country, can we really say that that country is Christian? For decades, church membership and attendance have been declining in the U.S., while the majority of people still say that they believe in some form of God. And while a smaller number still call themselves Christians, for the first time since surveys began, less than half of Americans say that they actually belong to a church, and only about a quarter of those are in worship on any given Sunday. It's a stretch to call our nation Christian under those conditions. Another challenge to calling our nation Christian is the pluralism that exists among us today. Here in Wellsville, we have a Wellsville Area Ministerial Association made up of Christian congregations that include Methodists, Presbyterians, the Salvation Army, and a bevy of independent evangelical and Pentecostal churches. When I was in Monroeville, Pennsylvania, there was an interfaith ministerium that, in addition to the usual Christians, including Roman Catholics, the Eastern Orthodox, and mainline Protestants, also included Unitarians, Reformed and Orthodox Jews, two strands of Hinduism, Muslims, Sikhs, the Baha'i, and the Jains. The Wiccans and Messianic Jews talked about joining the group but never officially did. That interfaith ministerium may be what the American religious landscape will be in the future. If that's true, would it be honest to call our nation Christian? Given how things are with retreating membership and resources, we might think that having a state church wouldn't be such a bad idea. I doubt that would ever happen in America, but if it did, there would be big problems. What denomination would the state church be? Roman Catholics and the Baptists are the largest Christian denominations. Would one of them be the state church? Lutherans only make up less than 1% of the population. Would we fade into non-existence along with our traditions and doctrine and our witness to Christ? That would be awful. Well, having a state church in America is unlikely enough to be virtually impossible. We may well see more and more incursions of the government into the life of the church. Should the government have the right to tell us when we can and cannot worship and what we are allowed to do in worship and not? Can the state regulate what we preach and teach? Already in some countries, pastors are being charged with hate crimes for calling a sin a sin. We pray that won't happen here. I went back and looked at the sermon that I preached here on the last 4th of July so that I wouldn't be redundant and repeat myself. One of my points last year was that our nation was founded on Christian morals and values. And in that way, you could say that we are a Christian nation, although some of the founding fathers may not have passed a religious litmus test. Today, I wonder if we are still adhering to those Christian ethics and teachings. Do we follow the Ten Commandments? For instance, is God's name honored among us, or do we get away today with people mocking God? Is marriage and family honored and raising children respected? Or do we think that we've moved beyond the need for families? Is there honesty in government and business? Or does winning elections and making a profit rule supreme? In a truly Christian society, all people would be valued and given equal opportunities. To borrow George Orwell's language, no one would be more equal than others. In a Christian society, people would be rewarded for doing good and working hard, and there would be consequences for doing less than what's right, but justice would always be tempered with mercy. The commandment not to steal assumes that there is private property, and it should be protected. At the same time, those blessed with much have much responsibility to share, and no one is entitled to take what is not theirs. Our first reading today addressed these topics. The prophet Ezekiel was sent to proclaim God's word to the rebellious people of Israel. The people had lost their faith. They did not worship as they ought. The political and religious leaders were corrupt. They did not follow God's command. They did not put into practice the proper morals and values. Ezekiel presented a choice to the people: follow God or not. And he suffered for it, as all of God's messengers suffer. Now, when we say Ezekiel proclaimed God's word to Israel, we need to define who Israel is. Israel was a political entity, a nation with a king and something like a state church. Israel, though, was also a spiritual entity, the chosen people of God. They were chosen to hear and proclaim God's word. They would be the branch of the human race that would bring the Messiah, the Christ, our Savior, into this world. They weren't chosen because they were perfect or because they were sinless. They certainly were not. Not only that, they suffered much exactly because they were chosen. It's hard being different. It's hard trying to follow God. In 1949, the United Nations created the modern state of Israel as a refuge for the Jews. Although they have the same name, the modern nation of Israel is not the same as the biblical nation of Israel. We, the Christian church, are the heirs to the spiritual entity that was Israel, in that now we bear the Savior and his word and his saving faith to the nations. When God addresses Israel in the Bible, he's talking to us. Martin Luther rightly taught that in this life, we are citizens of two kingdoms. We could call them two nations at the same time. And both of them are created by God. We are part of the state, a political entity with the responsibility to create law and order. We are also part of the church, a spiritual entity ordained by God to proclaim grace. We might say then that there is a sort of a separation of church and state, but not totally. Our goal is not to make the government a theocracy. We don't want the church to run the state, just like we wouldn't want the state to run the church. Would you come to a church that was ran by the state? But we do want our Christian values to come to bear on society. We want to state our beliefs in the public square. We want to vote our conscience. However, politics is not the ultimate for us. It is not what the church is all about. Most of all, we are to proclaim Christ's love and forgiveness. We are to witness in speech and action to Jesus' love made manifest on the cross, and to witness to the power demonstrated in his resurrection. Did we answer the question, is America a Christian nation? Maybe the answer is both yes and no. Or maybe the question ought to be, how are we living as Christians in this nation called America today? Let us be like Ezekiel, and let us be like Christ, living boldly, being unafraid to witness to our faith, living faithfully, relying on God's word alone and not bringing in our own thoughts or the world's ideas, living lovingly, caring for others because they are God's children just like we are, and living sacrificially, giving of ourselves as Christ gave of himself for the good of the world. May God bless you, and may God bless America. Amen.